Pretty Sky Broadcasting presents The Burning Plain, starring Charlize Theron as Sylvia, Kim Basinger as Gina, Jennifer Lawrence as Mariana, Jose Maria Yazpik as Carlos, Joaquin de Almeida as Nick, and J.D. Pardo as young Santiago. Written and directed by Guillermo Arriaga. Original music composed by Omar Rodriguez Lopez and Hans Zimmer. Audio description by Kieran McLaughlin. Overlooking desert scrubland, jagged scree-covered hills jut into a cloudless blue sky. Below them, black plumes of smoke rise from a fiercely burning fire. The inferno engulfs a trailer home in a raging fire of yellow, orange and white flames. In drab pale light, a woman's hunched head and shoulders are silhouetted against a window through which dreary suburbia is visible.
Get up.
She sits naked on the edge of a double bed in which a man is lying.
What?
She half turns her head to him.
Fell asleep again.
Okay, just 5 more minutes, please.
No. Get out.
Lighting a cigarette, she walks to the window and pulls the curtain. The man lifts his head and blearily peers at her, then drops it to the pillow again. She slides the window open. White, with shoulder-length blonde hair, her beauty is etched with weariness. Seemingly oblivious or uncaring about her nakedness, she watches a woman and 3 children pass by on a path below. The woman catches sight of her and hurries the youngsters along. In the room behind her, the man is getting dressed. She remains at the window, ignoring him. He stares at her back for several seconds, then stands up. As he leaves, she is still at the window smoking. Next, a car pulls into a curb. The blonde woman is there, dressed in winter coat and scarf, holding a takeaway coffee in each hand. As she opens the car door to get in, she pauses and places one of the coffees on the roof. In a car park directly opposite, a man with tousled dark hair and beard is staring at her intently through narrowed eyes. Noticing him, she grabs the coffee from the roof and ducks into the car.
Hey. Late night? I guess. Again?
Again.
Same guy?
No.
Do I know him?
Maybe.
Do you know him?
She betrays the hint of a smile. As their car pulls away from the curb, the scruffily dressed, bearded man gets into his car. Now in bright sunshine, the 2 women pull off the road and towards the small car park of a low-rise building overlooking a dramatic coastal seascape. Still trailing them, the bearded man slows down as he passes the building, watching the woman walk towards the entrance. Now inside, the blonde woman walks through a busy restaurant kitchen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Talk to me, Lawrence. What do we have for specials?
Lobster and a white wine sauce.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Halibut with spinach and almonds. Seafood linguine and a tomato sauce.
That looks good. Or the 25 no-show from last night's wedding.
She passes one of the many men dressed in kitchen whites. It is her lover. As he chops food, they briefly make eye contact before she drops her glance and hurries off. Now in the plush restaurant, she goes to greet guests.
Welcome back, Mr. and Mrs. Evans. So nice to see you again. You remember Sophie? She'll escort you to your usual table. Have a lovely meal.
Follow me. Sophie, table 6 needs help with wine.
Okay, thank you.
Wearing an elegant dress, Sylvia goes to the table.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Vivi just told me you need a wine recommendation.
Yeah, we're having the Petit Filet.
I would highly recommend the 87 Chateau Castet. It's a beautiful Bordeaux.
No, I haven't heard of it.
Not on our list. We have it on special reserve down in the cellar, but I think you'll really enjoy it.
Well, thank you. That'd be fantastic.
I'll be right back.
Sylvia leaves. The smartly dressed man seems taken with her. Now in reception.
Team, just ordered the check.
Okay. All right. I just have Vivi getting her to office before she closes in.
We're not for a quick cigarette, all right?
Bye.
Now outside. Wearing her coat, scarf, and knee-length wellies, Sylvia is seated on a large rock, smoking a cigarette. Behind her, a turbulent sea breaks on the spectacular, dark, jagged coastline. The deep grey of both sky and sea is broken only by the white surf of onrushing waves. Looking deeply troubled, Sylvia's head and shoulders are again hunched forward. She kneads a lump of dark rock in her hands, then fumbles with her coat and dress. On her now exposed inner thigh, she makes a deep cut with the lump of rock. Other equally deep cuts are visible next to it. Straightening up, Her face is expressionless. She stands and slowly walks towards the edge of a rocky headland, her small figure dwarfed by the ocean, which churns and breaks, breaks and churns. She peers over the edge as the milky white froth of waves engulfs large dark boulders. Still gazing at the ocean, she removes her hands from her pockets and lifts her arms ever so slightly away from her body. She maintains this position, her work time smiling expression replaced with care and anxiety. Now she returns to the restaurant. In the car park are the men to whom she'd recommended the wine. The man to whom she spoke approaches her.
That was a great suggestion at Chateau Castel.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, much white would you recommend?
It would depend on the meal.
Well, it's okay, you can figure that out when I buy you dinner.
He stands in front of her. She looks at him blankly.
Look, I don't date customers.
From inside the restaurant, her lover stares grim-faced as he sees Sylvia speaking to the customer. A dark Mercedes-Benz pulls into a car park. Watching from the pavement bordering the car park railings, the bearded man sees Sylvia emerge from the car accompanied by the customer. He watches carefully as they walk away. Next, lying on her stomach, a bored-looking Sylvia stares blankly to one side as the customer has sex with her. In the desert, the burned-out frame of the trailer home is silhouetted against the bright sky. A battered pickup truck pulls up next to the yellow police incident tape that encircles the fire-blackened shell. Three young Latino men get out and stare at the charred remains.
This is where my dad and that fucking slut burned.
How'd the fire start?
The cops said they left the gas on and it exploded.
So it was an accident?
Yeah, that's what the sheriff said.
Two of them step over the police tape.
They were fucking when they died. Their bodies get stuck together because of the fire?
No, they're right next to the remains.
They had to use a knife to cut them apart.
And who was the bitch?
Some married woman from Aroma. This is where they met. Halfway between both towns.
The third teenager steps into the trailer home.
What the hell are you doing?
Stepping inside, he gazes at the blackened remains of a bed.
What do you guess was going on through Dad's head while he was burning?
His brother now also stares thoughtfully at the bed. Next, the brothers are alone in the pickup. Both stare straight ahead. Rosary beads hang from the rearview mirror. A small religious icon is fixed to the dashboard.
Why'd you bring Javier?
Because he's my friend.
You bury Dad tomorrow and you're running a circus.
The pickup slows to a halt.
I ain't running no circus, bitch.
Fuck you.
The pickup pulls away. Then the abandoned young man slowly walks along a dusty road lined by single-story dwellings. The landscape of parched grass and cacti, interspersed with low bushes and trees, bakes under the sun. The young man spots a bird roosting in a tree. He pulls a slingshot from his back pocket and stoops to pick up a small rock. Taking careful aim, he lets fly. The bird falls to the ground. He hurries to gather it up, pulling feathers from it as he walks towards a bungalow. Inside, three women sit at a dining table. He goes inside.
But not an inch less.
Emma, Aunt Paula, Rebecca.
At the kitchen sink, he runs the tap over the bird.
Did you fight with Cristobal?
No.
But I don't want any more fighting.
Well,
Now more than ever.
She sips a drink.
Okay.
One of the women pours herself another drink.
Yeah, that's my dad's whiskey.
Is it?
His mother shrugs.
When the hell is he gonna drink it?
Nighttime. In the bedroom, he removes his boots. His brother Cristobal is on a computer. Daylight. A woman emerges from the bungalow.
Santiago. Cristobal.
Dressed in suits, the boys go to her.
Your mom ain't going to the funeral. Me and Rebecca, we ain't going either. Son of a bitch doesn't deserve it.
He never did anything to you.
Take care of everything. Both of you.
Cristobal puts an arm round his brother's shoulder. Next at the gravesite in a small dusty cemetery.
But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom in heaven, forever and ever. Amen. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Who are they?
A man and four children are watching from the road.
Don't know.
And now we bid farewell to our brother, Nick Martinez.
Both brothers take handfuls of dusty earth and scatter it on the coffin. Next, the mourners file from the cemetery led by Santiago and Cristobal. The man and four children are still watching. He addresses the brothers.
I hope your father's rotting in hell. That wetback piece of shit took away the best thing I ever had.
Hey, leave the boys alone.
Alone? It's their father's fault that my kids lost their mom. I hope you rot too.
With an anxious look, Santiago glances back to see the family start to leave. One of them, a blonde-haired teenage girl, returns his look. As he pauses to let Cristobal's friend Javier get into the pickup, Santiago continues watching the family who climb into a minivan. Next, men in baseball caps play dominoes in some kind of office. One of them is the bearded man who followed Sylvia. A woman on the phone says, "Where is the ranch?" Turning to the men, "There's a job in Los Aztecas. Who wants to take it?" One of the men asks, "How much are they paying per hectare?" 50 pesos. There's 80 hectares. We'll take it. On the phone, the woman says, "The pilot's on his way." Next, children are skipping. On an airfield, a man shouts, "Maria, come on." One of the girls replies, "Coming." "Maria, now." A woman says, "Hurry, Maria, your father's waiting." Maria leaves her friends and says, "See you later." One of the men says, "It's sorghum?" "Yeah, a sorghum field," replies the other. Maria runs up.
"Hey, Daddy, what's up?"
"Hey, honey. We got a job."
"Can I stay with my friends?"
"Sorry, sweetie, we gotta go."
"Please."
"No, mija."
"Come on, please," says Maria. The other man says teasingly, "Come on, please. Come on, please. You little whiner. Get to work." He lifts her into the small biplane. "Hold this for me, whiner," he says, giving her his coffee and climbing into the plane.
"You have the coordinates?"
"Yeah, I just put them into the GPS."
At the controls, her dad smiles. His work colleague is the bearded man, although it is presently no more than heavy stubble. Both wear sunglasses and baseball caps. The plane flies over huge fields of green. Whatever crop is growing there has a faint, rusty red tinge. Maria taps her dad, pointing. "That's the ranch." The plane banks to the left, then touches down on a runway, which is a narrow, dusty track cleared between fields of thickly growing crops. Both men get out of the plane as the propeller stops spinning. Maria follows. Two men in cowboy hats wait next to a pickup truck.
"Buenas."
"Morning," they say. Maria's dad extends his hand. "Santiago Martinez from Aerofumigation." The bearded man does likewise. "Carlos Alariz. Morning. We need you to dust this side of the ranch. We've pulled all the workers out so it's clear. There's a stove in that shack and corn flour to make tortillas. Do you need anything else?" Santiago says, "No thanks, we'll manage." He shakes hands with the two men. "See you later then." As they move to the pickup truck, Carlos asks, "Hey, can I borrow your bicycle?" "Sure, no problem. Thanks." Carlos asks, "So who goes first?" Santiago replies, "Let's flip for it." Call it. Tails, always tails, says Carlos. They stoop to check the coin. Heads, says Santiago. Come on, you go first, says Carlos. Okay, says Santiago. You owe me one. I owe you two, replies Carlos.
Be back in a minute.
Santiago kisses Maria and heads for the plane. Carlos says to Maria, what are you doing there like you've never done this before? Santiago steps onto the wing of the plane and looks around. In the cloudless sky, a large group of geese fly in a V formation. As the plane moves along a second dusty runway, Maria walks with Carlos, who pushes the bike. I'm going to town to buy cigarettes, he says. Okay, I'll fix us something to eat, she replies. Good, says Carlos, and cycles off. Maria looks about 12 years of age. She is pretty, with long dark hair, and wears a pink anorak and blue jeans. She walks towards the shack, sitting at the end of a long dusty path. The crop dusting plane takes off. Flying over the fields of sorghum, streams of insecticide emerge from beneath the plane's wings, leaving a pale vapor trail, which diffuses after only a few seconds. In the shack, Maria kneads dough in a bowl. From the window immediately in front of her, she can watch her father flying low over the sorghum crop. A large flock of dark-coloured birds swoop skywards from the field. Maria seems to watch her father's every swoop and climb. With the driver's door half open, a man leans from a pickup truck next to a perfectly straight dusty desert road. Swigging from a bottle of beer, he is middle-aged, with his mop of dark hair contrasting with a greying stubbly beard. Seeing a car approaching, he gets up and stands expectantly next to the pickup. As the car gets closer, he walks to meet it. With a tender smile, he leans in the window to a middle-aged woman with shoulder-length blonde hair, Gina.
I'm sorry I'm late. I couldn't get away.
Don't worry.
Their warm smiles gradually fade to a look of slight concern.
Can I get in?
Sure.
Smiling again, he rounds the back of the car and gets into the passenger seat. As she watches, her still beautiful face remains clouded with worry. He leans towards her and kisses her on the lips. Breaking from the kiss, he studies her face briefly, then kisses her with increasing passion. His hand strays towards her breast. She winces.
Not there. Please.
He looks away.
Do you want us to leave it for some other day?
No. No, it's okay.
Listen, my cousin lent me this place. I've never been there, but it tells me it's far away from everything. Do you want to go?
Now the car slowly moves through the baking desert scrubland towards an isolated trailer home. Long dark shadows stretch from the jagged hills behind the trailer home, outside which the car stops. The man opens the trailer home door and allows Gina to enter first. She pauses in the doorway. Inside is a mess. Beer bottles seem to sit on every surface. A dartboard hangs on one grubby pockmarked wall. The man steps in after her and closes the door. The man hugs her from behind as they survey the chaos.
It ain't no Hilton.
Now in a dimly lit bedroom area, they kiss. He starts to unbutton her white shirt, but she stops him, moving his hand away and looking at him intently. Standing in front of him as he sits on the bed, she lowers her trousers and wraps her arms round his shoulders. Burying his head in her chest, he falls back on the bed, pulling her on top of him. Next, the blonde-haired teenage girl who watched the funeral is cooking in a kitchen.
I want cereal, Mariana.
I wanted them over easy.
Well, that's too bad for you because you got them well done.
Her brother arrives with a friend.
Never has one. Mariana, what's for dinner?
fix you and your friend some cereal.
Mariana continues with her chores.
Hi, guys. Supermarket was packed. Lines wrapped around the aisles.
It is Gina.
Did your daddy call?
Yeah, he's going to come in the day after tomorrow. He's making a delivery to Abilene.
That's okay. I'll do it.
Gina goes to the cooker. Sylvia enters the restaurant.
Hey.
Hey, guess what? Senator Park's office just called. He's coming in today for lunch with a party of eight.
Shh, I can't call a day ahead.
Now in the kitchen.
Lawrence.
We have a senator coming in 2 hours. They want the usual.
2 hours? Where is he expecting to get everything?
Let me call Forster at the fish market, see what he can do.
As she moves off, her lover follows her.
Where were you last night?
What?
Where were you last night?
Home.
Who with?
They stare at each other.
I promise to never ask any questions.
Who the fuck with?
We have work to do.
Later.
I'll be right back with another bottle. I'll enjoy your meal.
Passing a waitress.
Why is the senator's water glass empty?
Sorry, Sylvia.
As people chat in the restaurant car park, the bearded man, Carlos, anxiously looks on from a car. Sylvia exits the restaurant and goes to her friend Laura, who is smoking.
Well, the senator seemed pleased.
I'll say, with a $500 tip. I think he wants us to vote for him in his next election.
Sylvia takes a cigarette from her and drags on it, then watches as a Mercedes pulls up. It is driven by the customer with whom she slept.
You're unbelievable.
I'm not.
That's what I want for Christmas next year. Remember that. Have fun.
As Sylvia walks to the car, her lover runs up.
Sylvia, who the hell's this guy?
Jesus Christ, John, don't do this right now. He's just a friend, okay?
He's a customer. Saw him having lunch here yesterday.
Good. Yesterday.
Hey, what, did you just fuck whoever you want to fuck and that's it?
When you leave your wife, then you can talk. Let's go.
As John looks on, she gets into the car. She frowns as she straps herself in. The car reverses. Carlos looks on intently as John is left standing grimly in the car park. A Jeep pulls up next to the Mercedes. Behind its blacked out windows, two figures can be seen dimly kissing. John gets out of the Jeep and heads straight for the Merc. Inside, the figures break apart.
I want to talk to you.
The customer gets out.
Unlock the door.
Hey.
Come out and talk to
me. Come on, leave her alone.
Fuck off.
What?
Sylvia.
What is your problem?
I want to talk to you.
My friend, leave her alone. I told you to fuck off, didn't I?
It's off. He's John! Jesus Christ, what are you, seven? What are you doing?
I want to talk to you. Oh, this is bullshit. I'll leave you to figure your shit out with a boyfriend.
He's not my boyfriend.
What's wrong with you? What are you doing this for?
Don't fucking touch me.
Give me 5 minutes.
What do you think? You just fucking follow me?
Hey, Sylvia.
You don't own me, John. Do me a favor and fuck off.
Oh, let me take you home.
Sylvia storms past the watching Carlos, who asks, are you okay?
What do you want?
Are you okay?
I don't understand you.
Hey.
I can drive you home.
What?
I'll take you home. Come on, hey, I'll take you home. Looking totally bewildered, she turns her back on him, then faces him again. Come on, he says. Now inside his car, totally drenched, she looks at him.
What's your name?
Name? Carlos.
My name's Carlos. You?
Sylvia.
Carlos looks confused.
Sylvia?
Yeah, Sylvia.
Young Santiago leans on his arms as he stares from his pickup truck. He is watching a group of people all dressed in black stand around an awning. Santiago perks up as the people begin to move away. It is clear that this is a funeral. A casket sits underneath the awning. As Santiago continues staring, the leading group of mourners move towards a minivan. It is the blonde girl, Mariana's family. As their minivan passes him, Santiago ducks. Mariana sits in the front passenger seat of the minivan, her face a blank. He makes a U-turn in the pickup and follows Mariana's family. Now they're in a residential street comprised mainly of modest bungalows. The minivan pulls up next to one of them. Santiago halts the pickup and watches as the grieving family get out of the van and enter the house. Time passes. Santiago is still behind the wheel of the pickup, which still sits in Mariana Street. He looks bored, variously leaning on the steering wheel and then lolling back in his seat. Eventually, Mariana comes out of the house, still wearing her black knee-length mourning dress. Santiago watches as she walks across a stretch of featureless waste ground. He then gets out of the pickup. Dressed as usual in blue jeans and t-shirt, he follows her at a distance down the sun-drenched road. She walks into a single-story building with the nameplate Aguirre's Mini Mart above the windows. Santiago does likewise. Now inside, Mariana takes groceries from a shelf. As she moves to the counter, she still hasn't noticed Santiago, who approaches her from behind.
Hi.
She turns.
You know who I am?
She nods.
I'm not here to fight.
Then what do you want?
I just want to know more, that's all. Who your mom was, what she did with my dad.
You already know what she did.
No, we don't. Can I talk to you someday?
She nods again.
Okay. I'll come look for you then.
Still dusting, the plane speeds low over the sorghum crop. Santiago is still at the controls. Maria is still preparing the tortillas. Suddenly, Maria looks up. The plane hits the ground. Maria runs into the field.
Daddy!
Black smoke shows where the plane has hit. Maria ploughs through the waist-high crop.
Daddy!
Reaching the plane, she hammers on its window.
Daddy!
In the garden of her house, Gina is feeding chickens. A large truck approaches the closed metal grill gate, which provides access to the garden and yard. Gina approaches the gate and opens it as the truck halts just outside. A man in cowboy hat, jeans and t-shirt climbs out.
Hey.
Hey, darling.
I thought you didn't get back until tomorrow.
Yeah, but I wrapped up early. So where are the kids?
They went to a baseball game. You want to wait and have lunch with them?
Yeah. I'll get cleaned up.
Later, he squats next to a canister of bottled gas. She brings him a beer.
Here, hon.
Thanks, baby. I'll have this working in no time.
I have to go out this evening.
Yeah, where?
To the Kmart in Santa Elena.
I'll come with you.
We'll have to pick up fabric and go to the butcher's.
It's all right. I'll ride along. I need to buy me a radio.
The kids arrive as he lights the barbecue.
Whoa.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Working now.
Daddy, you? So happy you're here.
Yes! Oh.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, little girl.
Next, the family climb into the minivan. Gina looks preoccupied.
Well, sweetheart, hop in. There you go.
I forgot my wallet.
Bobby,
she was there first. Either sit down or get in the back.
Mariana climbs in after the younger children.
Did you see about him?
Yeah. He has listened to your sister.
I'm gonna go pee.
This is new hot seat.
Now Mariana's in the house.
I miss you too. I'll try to get close. Love you.
Who are you talking to?
Looking startled, Gina hangs up the phone.
Your Aunt Letitia. Come on, they're waiting for us.
Where are you going?
Bathroom.
In the supermarket.
Daddy, I want that one.
No, we're trying to save up now, remember?
I need you to find these things on the list. And please help Monty find a blouse. Could I have the keys? I want to go pick up the fabric I'll wear.
I want to come with you.
You go with your sister and find a blouse, Bob. Won't be long.
Come on, babe.
All right, Dad, I'm going to go over here.
As Gina leaves, Mariana stares after her, then walks to the doorway, watching her mother hurry to the minivan. Gina sits behind the steering wheel. Her face is taut with suppressed worry. She breathes out deeply. As she starts the engine, she glances round furtively. Now on the straight section of Dusty Desert Road, she approaches her lover Nick, who sits waiting on the bonnet of his battered pickup. The ghost of a smile crosses her face as she pulls right up to the bumper of the pickup. Nick serenely smiles as she gets out.
Hi.
He jumps down from the bonnet. They embrace and kiss. Outside the supermarket, Gina's husband and kids wait in the sunshine. The eldest boy leans against a vending machine looking bored. The minivan approaches.
There she is.
I'm sorry, guys. The order wasn't ready and they made me wait. Gotta go back and pick it up. I'm gonna be able to make Monty's dress for the school presentation. Did you get everything on the list?
Did you open the back, honey?
Oh, sure.
Having blanked her mother, Mariana sits in the van, pointedly staring straight ahead. As a busy city bustles under a slate grey sky, a car halts outside a block of apartments. Inside, Carlos and Sylvia. His face betrays uncertainty as she stares blankly in front of her.
You want to come in?
He points towards the apartments.
Come in.
Yes, come in.
Okay.
In the apartment, Carlos stares out the window as a flock of birds fly across the dreary, rain-sodden, grey urban landscape. Watching him, Sylvia slips off her soaking wet coat. Underneath, her smart dress is also wet through, its dark, plunging neckline accentuating the pallor of her moist neck and chest. She twists the cork off a bottle.
Do you want something to drink?
Drink? No, no drink.
He watches as she pours herself a large one.
I'm gonna change, I'm freezing.
She walks into an adjoining room. With the door still open, she removes her wet dress. Still wearing his heavy coat, Carlos continues staring out the window. Eventually he turns. She approaches him wearing an unbelted bathrobe, which leaves her breasts exposed. She moves closer.
Sure you don't want to?
Looking into her eyes, he shakes his head. She stares at him blankly, then puts her hand round his neck, moving to kiss him.
No.
She pulls away, removing her hand. They face each other, still only inches apart.
Why?
She looks at him with a hint of accusation.
You don't like me?
As she continues gazing at him, he eventually lowers his eyes and walks off. She remains motionless, silhouetted against the dim grey light of the wet afternoon. Next, young Santiago warily peers through the window of a house. Glancing round vigilantly, he moves to the next window along, where he presses close up to the glass. Inside, Mariana is stretched on a bed, writing in a book. A table lamp on a desk illuminates the shadowy room. Santiago taps on the window. Mariana goes to the window.
What are you doing? If my dad finds out you're here, he's gonna kill you.
I told you I'd come look for you.
Yeah, but not here. Wait for me at the windmill on the way to Guadalupe.
Okay.
In bright sunshine, Santiago leans against the side of the pickup truck. He's in the desert, overlooked by the jagged mountain peaks. A bird lands on a wooden post. Santiago reaches into his back pocket and pulls out a slingshot. As he stoops to pick up a stone, Mariana rides up on her bike.
Why do you want to see me?
I don't know.
I don't think it's okay for you to talk to me.
Why?
He stoops, grabs a stone, and lets fly with his slingshot. In a flurry of feathers, several birds fly out of a bush.
Do you look like your mom?
No. Do you look like your dad?
A little. Do you know how your mom and my dad met?
No, I have no idea. Hand it over.
He hands her a slingshot. As a small bird walks a few feet in front of her, she picks up a stone and takes aim.
I got it!
Next, the small body of a plucked bird cooks over an open fire. Santiago tends to it as Mariana looks on.
You like hunting?
A lot. My boyfriend used to take me, but I haven't gone back since we broke up.
My dad taught me how to hunt.
Did you love your dad?
Yeah.
I love my mom too, but I didn't like her. Do you have any pictures?
He pulls a wallet from his back pocket and passes her a black and white photo of his dad, Nick. She studies it.
You don't look like him at all.
She gives him back the photo. He returns the wallet to his back pocket.
It's done. Take it off.
Santiago tries to pick up the bird, but quickly withdraws his hand.
I can't, it's too hot.
Calmly, Mariana lifts the bird from the fire.
Doesn't that burn?
She pulls off some meat and hands it to him. As he takes it, he juggles it from hand to hand. With a look of extreme concern, Maria stares through a window at a white-coated doctor in a ward. Mostly obscured by the window frame, someone, presumably her father, can be seen lying in a bed behind the doctor. Carlos approaches and gives her a Pepsi. Here, sweetie, he says. No thanks. Just have a little. You haven't had anything all day. She shakes her head and remains staring through the window. The doctor, who is bald with a dark goatee moustache, comes to the door. Are you Carlos Alariz? He asks. The patient has asked to speak with you. Maria follows Carlos, but the doctor says he asked just for him. Carlos says to Maria, wait for me, I'll be right back. He follows the doctor into the ward. Maria continues watching through the window with large, concerned eyes. Carlos stands next to the bed in which her father Santiago lies. Now Carlos and Santiago appear to be talking. Maria looks on, expressionlessly. A single tear runs down her cheek. A pickup truck comes to a halt. Carlos gets out from behind the wheel. Maria sits in the passenger seat. Tapping on the bonnet, Carlos says, "Let's go." He opens a garden gate, then goes back to the pickup and jerks open the passenger door, saying, "I don't have time to argue. Please, come on." Looking unhappy, Maria gets out. Now in a house, "I need you to pack a suitcase with enough clothes to last a week." "I'm not going anywhere," says Maria. "I don't want to meet that woman. Just pack your bag and take a bath. And if I don't want to? She's your mother." "My mother? I've never even seen her. You're coming with me, okay?" "Fuck, I don't want to. Where did you learn to talk like that? Ever hear your father curse like that? Take a bath and pack your stuff. You're getting on that plane whether you like it or not." Each carrying a travel bag, Carlos and Maria walk through an airport. Now at the Palms Motor Hotel, they walk along a balcony fronting chalet-style rooms. Pausing outside a room, Carlos takes out a key. They enter the room. "How do you like it?" asks Carlos. Maria sits on the bed looking glum. "It's cold," she says. Carlos fiddles with a wall heater. "There you go," he says. "The room will warm up in a bit." Carlos opens his case, which sits on one of the twin beds. Maria watches, sitting on the other bed. "Did you meet my mother?" she asks. "I met your dad after she left." "Why did she leave us?" "I don't know," replies Carlos. "Your dad tried to find her several times. He just recently found out where she lives." "I don't want to meet her. Let's go back." "Don't start, please. Your father asked me to find her." "And we are going to find her." Next, Gina washes up in the trailer home kitchen. Nick walks in.
"Hi."
He surveys the living room.
"Wow, look at this place."
It has been completely tidied. He goes to Gina.
"You make me so happy. And I'd be even happier if we could have some hot water so I could take a shower.
Ooh, you taste better this way."
Kissing her neck, he fondles her breast.
No, please. Not there."
She removes his hand and looks away with embarrassment, then turns to face him. Caressing her shoulders, he stares at her with tender puzzlement.
"Why?"
Her eyes are moist as she looks at him.
"Because I don't like that part of my body."
"And how do you know I'm not gonna like it?"
Leaning in, he kisses her. As they hold each other's gaze, she starts to unbutton her shirt. Her face betrays her anxiety and embarrassment. Only now does she break eye contact as she bends her head and undoes the front clasp on her bra. It reveals a diagonal mastectomy scar on the left side of her chest. She again looks him in the eye.
"I had cancer 2 years ago."
He looks at the scar sadly, then stoops to kiss it. Her hand shakes as she places it on his shoulder. Her face crumples with emotion as he moves to kiss her on the mouth. Wrapping her hands round his neck, she returns the kisses with increasing fervour. Nick wraps her in an embrace as she sobs against his shoulder. Nighttime. At home, Gina walks through the darkened house. Mariana is awake reading.
"Hey. Where were you?"
"I was at Libby's."
"Bobby cut his arm with a piece of glass. Dr. Page had to sew him up."
"Is he okay?"
"He's fine."
Gina crosses into another room and sits next to her son Bobby, who is asleep in bed. Leaning on the doorpost, Mariana watches.
He wouldn't stop crying and asking for you.
Mariana moves off, leaving her mother still sitting by Bobby. Daylight, wearing a little backpack, Bobby runs out of the house to join his siblings as Gina watches in her dressing gown.
Y'all be good now.
Bye.
Bye.
I forgot my homework. Keep going, I'll catch up with you later.
We'll wait for you.
No, go on.
Mariana turns back to the house. Purposefully, she walks to a bike and wheels it out onto the street before jumping on. Now she's crouching low behind desert scrub as a car passes. Immediately, she grabs the bike and sets off in the same direction. The car heads in the direction of the hills. Outside the trailer home, Nick moves a large gas canister into position. As the car pulls up next to his pickup truck, he goes to meet it. He starts moving another gas canister as Gina emerges from the car.
Hi.
Hey. Now we are finally getting some hot water.
Looking genuinely happy, Gina kisses him.
Can I help you?
That's okay. Almost there.
On her bike, Mariana cycles along a narrow, dusty track bordered on each side by desert scrub. Dismounting, she starts to walk. Stooping slightly, her eyes are fixed on the nearby trailer home. She watches Nick, who is still occupied with the canisters. Then the door of the trailer home opens. Mariana hurries to get a better look and sees her mother emerge.
Is it working?
Gina cuddles him as Mariana watches critically. As birds swoop in a grey sky, Sylvia walks by a river. Dogging her footsteps and unseen by her is Carlos. Gradually, she seems to sense his presence and turns her head. He keeps following her.
What are you doing?
She walks back towards him.
What do you want?
We have to talk, Mariana, he says. She stares at him.
You have the wrong girl. My name is Sylvia. Okay?
Santiago sent me to look for you. Having started to walk off, she stops and again approaches him.
What did she just say?
Santiago.
Santiago sent me to look for you. He studies her with a pained expression, then pulls a photo of Maria from his jacket. Mariana, this is your daughter. Her name is Maria. Briefly, Sylvia looks at the photo, then averts her eyes. She walks off with just one backward glance, leaving Carlos holding the photo. Now she is smoking in her apartment, sadly studying a creased photo of a newborn baby. As she puts the photo down, her moist eyes stare blankly ahead. In the desert, young Santiago and Mariana are looking at photographs.
This is my mom and dad with us when we were little.
They look like Betty from Archie.
Mariana smiles briefly.
This is my mother's last picture. It's her birthday.
Santiago stares at the photo of Gina with her youngest daughter, Moni.
And this is me.
A photo of a smiling Mariana with her hair worn down.
Can I have this one?
She looks at him, considering.
Only if you give me a scar.
What?
I want to remember this day.
Will you give me one?
Come get me tonight. My dad's away on business. We can go to the desert and bring joyas.
She leaves the photo of herself in Santiago's hands, puts the others in her backpack, and walks off. Santiago remains gazing at the photo. Nighttime. Mariana and Santiago stand next to a bonfire.
My grandfather told me that the smoke of the burnt toy is purifying.
They burn like fireworks.
Yeah. I love it.
They both stare at the burning vegetation.
Roll up your sleeves.
Before.
So you can give me your scar.
He pulls up the sleeve of his denim jacket. Mariana ignites a cigarette lighter and holds the flame directly under his now exposed arm.
Shit. Burns.
Mariana holds the flame under her own arm. She watches it quite calmly. Santiago appears shocked.
Stop it, you're going to hurt yourself.
She looks at him blankly for a few seconds before shutting the lighter. She shows the nasty burn on her forearm.
This is for you.
Santiago looks at the burn, then holds out his own arm. Again, she ignites the flame and serenely holds it under his flesh as he winces with pain. The pickup pulls up outside a house, dark but for two porch lights. Mariana opens the door.
Let me sleep with you.
Are you crazy?
I swear I won't lay a finger on you.
You're gonna wake up my sister, Moni.
You said your dad's not home. You could sleep in his room.
Mariana appears to consider this. Now in the bedroom, she shuts the curtains. Santiago stares at the family photos on the wall, then walks to the double bed as Mariana watches.
What did your mom wear to bed?
A slip.
Can you put it on?
She looks at him expressionlessly.
I'm wearing my father's shirt.
She walks to a wardrobe and pulls out a pink slip on a coat hanger.
You promise not to touch me?
I promise.
Holding the slip, Mariana walks into a bathroom. She stares at herself in a mirror and lets her hair down, spreading it out over her shoulders. Now as Santiago watches, she emerges from the bathroom wearing the slip and walks to the bed. As she sits on one side of the bed, Santiago nervously sits on the other and pulls off his boots. She lies down with her back to Santiago, who then lies facing her. She switches off the bedside lamp. In the darkness, they both lie with eyes open.
Does your burn hurt?
No.
It hurts a lot.
She smiles. Santiago's hand reaches out and strokes her hair. She doesn't react. He then gently touches her neck. She turns her head to face him. Pulling her towards him, he kisses her. Reaching round his neck, she slowly turns her body to face him as they draw closer together. Next, Sylvia's in the restaurant.
Sylvia, Mr. Jordan Cole, he's bringing a big party of eight. And we're booked.
don't know. What do you want me to do, Sophie?
Are you okay?
Just take care of things for a while. I'll be back.
In the kitchen, John chops vegetables. Sylvia approaches.
Can you come outside? I need to talk.
Up.
With arms folded across her chest, she looks at him appealingly.
Do you like me? I mean,
there is a desperate vulnerability in her eyes.
Do you think that they'd love me?
I don't know, I guess so.
Let's just get out of here. Just me and you today.
What are you talking about?
Let's just back your car up or then go somewhere new and start over. Somewhere anywhere but here. Just let's go.
No, I don't understand.
Yes or no?
He looks her in the eye.
I don't know. You gotta think about it.
Appearing disappointed, she considers, then walks away. A car draws up to a curb. Sylvia gets out. Sitting on a nearby wall, Carlos and Maria see her and get up. Sylvia notices them approaching and halts her progress. She meets the eyes of the young girl, allegedly her daughter, then turns and walks in the opposite direction.
Mariana! Mariana!
She crosses the busy road. Behind her, Carlos and Maria watch her go, then look at each other. Slowly, Carlos moves and takes Maria in his arms. Twilight. Gina drives towards the house. Her husband's truck is parked outside. Inside, the whole family watch TV.
I can certainly sympathize with him. I've had a weight problem my entire life. Of course, I always like being fat.
Hiya. Are we ready?
Hi, Mom.
You had dinner?
No, we were waiting for you.
I'll go get it started.
Mariana follows Gina into the kitchen.
Why are you so late?
Honey, you scared me.
What did you do today?
I went to pick up some fabric, and then I went to Libby's.
I also went to Libby's. I didn't see you there.
Well, maybe you weren't there when I was there.
I was there since 4 o'clock.
Stop asking questions and help me clean up this mess.
Morning. Dolefully, Gina watches the kids leave for school. Next, she's on the phone.
Nick? Hey, it's Gina. I need to talk to you. No, not at the trailer. The supermarket? Say 11? Okay. Bye.
In the supermarket.
I love you. You love me. I don't know if it's right, but it's real. Do you want to let it go?
Nick, please, just understand.
Answer me. Do you want to let it go?
I don't want to see you anymore.
Forever.
I can't keep seeing you.
As she tries to leave, he grabs her arm.
I'm going to wait for you at the trailer every day at noon until you come back.
He jettisons his shopping basket and strides out of the supermarket. Next, on the patio, Gina puts food on a table.
What's this?
Well, we haven't had a picnic in a long time, so I just thought...
The patio? It's kind of cold out here, honey.
Is there anything for Stripes?
Stripes can have a cookie.
Okay. Can I have a cookie?
No, not until you've had your lunch. Mm-hmm. I'll do the burgers.
The two eldest children arrive.
Hello?
Not yet. No. Hey, guys. Come join us.
Hey, kids.
Why are we having a party?
No, it's not a party. It's just a picnic. Just for fun.
I have homework to do.
Oh, come on. Don't you want to roast some marshmallows?
I'm not a kid, Mom.
Mariana, how about you, just for a little bit?
I have to go to Carrie's house to work on a school project. Bye, Daddy.
Bye, sweetie.
Mariana pushes her bike off, leaving Gina standing awkwardly holding a marshmallow on a toasting fork. Now Mariana cycles up to the trailer home. She opens the front door. She goes inside, surveying the still shabby but now homely interior. She lifts a small jar of tablets and studies the label. Now, the neat double bed. She sits heavily on it. Nighttime. Gina and her husband Robert are in bed making love. Her face appears tense and strained as he labors over her.
I just can't. I'm sorry.
Impassively, she stares at him, then closes her eyes as he rolls back onto his side of the bed. As he holds her hand, she stares blankly at the ceiling.
Up on the newest traffic laws in Oregon.
Laura goes to the door.
Mommy!
It's Sylvia.
Hey.
Laura's smile fades as she sees Sylvia's anxious expression.
Are you okay?
Looking on the verge of tears, Sylvia shakes her head. Now, Laura's in a hotel reception as Sylvia stands outside, nervously smoking. Laura emerges.
They haven't been here either. I think we should check the palms.
Oh. We're never gonna find them. They're gone.
Believe me, a Mexican and 12-year-old girl are pretty hard to hide. We're gonna find her. We just need to keep looking.
Laura takes Sylvia's cigarette and uses it to light her own. Giving it back, she leans against the car next to Sylvia.
When was the last time you saw her?
I left her 2 days after she was born.
Why?
Sylvia shakes her head.
I didn't deserve her.
She drags on her cigarette. They get back into the car. Young Santiago gets out of the pickup and heads for his house. Inside, Mariana is chatting.
Teachers must really like you. Hey, hon.
Hey.
There's somebody here to see you.
Hi. Hey, you never told us about Mariana.
He looks stunned.
She's a friend from school.
You want to stay for lunch?
No, thanks.
No, we're going to grab lunch somewhere else.
All right, well, we're going to have lunch at Paula's.
Yeah.
It's very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Later.
Have fun.
The women leave. Santiago approaches Mariana, who looks at him serenely.
What are you doing here?
I wanted to see your parents' room.
He motions with his head.
It's this way.
She follows him. In the bedroom, family photos hang on the wall.
Did your mom and dad get along?
So-so.
She sits on the bed and pats the quilt next to her.
Come here.
Looking self-conscious, he sits next to her. She indicates his burn.
Still hurt?
Yeah.
Calmly maintaining eye contact with him, she straightens up slightly and starts to undo the buttons on her blouse. He reaches out and touches her hair, then kisses her first on the forehead, then on the shoulder. She leans towards him and kisses him. They let themselves fall backwards onto the bed. At home, Gina hoovers. Pausing, she stares at the clock. It is almost midday. She seems restless and uncomfortable. Now powdering her face in front of a mirror, she pauses as if something is on her mind. Next, she sits alone on a bench. Her expression is strained and careworn as she sits, arms folded, wearing a heavy knitted cardigan. She lies awake in the darkness as Robert sleeps beside her. Folding clothes, she glances at a digital clock. It reads 11:38. Hurriedly, she puts the clothes to one side and leaves the room. As a pickup pulls away from the trailer home, Gina guns the car along the dusty road, frantically sounding the horn. The pickup stops. Gina pulls up behind it. As Nick gets out, Gina walks straight into his arms. They hug and kiss. Mariana places an empty milk crate next to the gas canisters outside the trailer. Stepping on it, she peers in the kitchen window. In the bedroom straight ahead, she sees her mother's naked back and buttocks as she straddles Nick. She continues watching, then pulls away from the window, looking profoundly shocked. She reels away from the trailer. Next, Laura stands at a motel office window.
With a little girl, you're sure? Thank you.
She gets into the car.
They're in room 51.
What?
51.
Laura knocks on a door. Who is it? Carlos opens the door, sees Sylvia, and says, "What do you want?"
I want to see my daughter.
No te entiendo.
Pero hija, her daughter. Eh? She wants to see her daughter.
Maria,
can I just talk to you for a second?
No te quiero ver. Ya la dejaste parada en la pinche calle. Ahora te chinga.
He slams the door closed.
Don't worry, we'll figure something out.
Now, Laura opens the door to room 58 and enters. Sylvia remains outside on the balcony, looking apprehensively across to Maria and Carlos's room. Inside room 58, Sylvia drags a chair across to the still open door and sits on it. Her eyes never leave Maria's door. Darkness has fallen. Looking exhausted, Sylvia maintains her vigil at the open door. Hunched in the chair, she rubs her hands over her weary face. Daylight. Still in the chair, Sylvia has fallen asleep. She stirs and sees that the door to Maria's room is now open. She gets up and goes to the balcony. Carlos is in the car park below. Sylvia starts moving in the direction of her daughter's room. Looking up, Carlos notices her.
Hey!
She starts to run.
Hey!
Maria!
Carlos mounts the stairs. Sylvia is in the room.
Please. Just let me talk to you for a second.
¿Qué chingados quieres?
I am begging you, please.
¿Me vas a dejar en paz?
Please,
no, no, no,
Carlos.
Esto, please, ni que la chingada.
Carlos.
¿Por qué?
Carlos turns to Maria. Leave her, she says.
¿Estás segura, mija?
Are you sure, sweetie? He asks. Maria nods. Carlos goes to the balcony. Maria stares wide-eyed at Sylvia, who closes the door. Averting her eyes, Maria sits heavily on one of the beds. With a haunted expression, Sylvia moves forward.
Can I sit down?
Maria, still looking down, does not respond. Moving slowly, Sylvia approaches and gently sits down on the adjacent bed.
I'm really sorry I ran away like that yesterday. I didn't. Maria, do you speak English?
Maria nods.
You're all grown up. I think about you all the time. Especially on your birthdays. Try to imagine what you look like. Like your father.
My dad's in the hospital.
Why?
His plane crashed.
Is he okay?
Maria looks at her.
He's a crop duster. You didn't know?
On the balcony, Carlos stands with Laura. Maria comes out of the room. Is everything fine? Carlos asks. Maria nods. Your father asked me to bring her back to Mexico with us. Do you want her to come?
¿Quieres que venga?
Maria looks into the room where Sylvia is still sitting on the bed, then turns back to Carlos and nods. All right, says Carlos. In the room, Sylvia stands. In the desert, Nick's pickup and Gina's car both drive away from the trailer. From behind bushes, Mariana emerges. She walks towards the trailer. Mariana steps into the trailer living room and peers slowly round. She goes into the small kitchen, turns on the gas on the stove, and sniffs it. Her face is unnaturally calm as she walks outside. On her hands and knees, she twists at the gas supply pipe under the trailer. The supply pipe is now hanging loose. She hurries to the cylinders at the side of the trailer and opens them fully. Expressionlessly, she surveys the desert scrubland. Bushes tremble in the breeze. Mariana leans her head back against the trailer. In the house, Gina is praying with Moni.
May you take care of us and everyone else. Amen.
Okay. Hop in.
Mariana sits on the next bed.
Have you said your prayers?
I don't pray anymore.
That's wrong, Mariana.
Lots of things are wrong, Mom, and they can't be fixed by praying.
You've been acting so strange lately. Tomorrow I want you to tell me what's on your mind.
Mariana keeps staring at her book.
Good night, sweetie.
Good night, Mom.
Gina kisses Mariana on the cheek.
Good night.
Young Santiago is cleaning the back of the pickup truck. Cristobal and Javier approach him. Santiago stops scrubbing.
The girl brought home the other day. Is her daughter?
Yes.
Are you fucking her? Why are you doing this?
It's none of your business.
Can't be doing this shit to your mom.
It's the out of this. It's not enough what already happened.
It's got nothing to do with you.
You're gonna stop seeing her. You understand? Do you understand?
Cristobal walks off. Santiago's pickup is parked in the desert. In the back, under a blanket, he lies with Mariana. They are kissing. Nighttime. Santiago's mother sits alone outside the house, staring blankly ahead. The pickup pulls up. Santiago gets out.
Do you enjoy betraying your family? I'm talking to you, you son of a bitch.
Well, I didn't betray anyone.
You are worse than your father. You dare to bring her home? You're going to be buried in hell with him.
I'm sorry.
Get out of here, she says. She pushes him away. Next, Moni and Bobby are watching TV at home. A rock comes through the window. The rock is wrapped in paper.
What happened?
Mariana's father reads the note, then stomps towards her room. As he enters, she backs away.
Tell me this ain't true. Tell me this is a lie.
She looks at him blankly.
Did you actually sleep with him?
Furiously, he slaps her face. Turning his back on her, he strides past the bewildered kids and outside to the minivan. Mariana hurries to the phone.
Santiago, my dad is on his way to get you. Go to hell and come get me.
Bright sunshine. Sylvia stares reflectively out of the window as she sits in a pickup behind Carlos and Maria. They pull up outside a large hospital. Inside the hospital, they wait patiently. Carlos leans against a wall. Sylvia, shifting anxiously, sits next to Maria.
How great are you, Ewan?
It's great.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Do you?
Sylvia shakes her head.
I don't have a boyfriend.
Jose Sanchez Martinez.
Two people stand up. Maria stares at them briefly, then looks down again. Sylvia turns to her as if about to speak, then also stares down. At the trailer, Nick and Gina are in bed.
I want to have plastic surgery on my breast.
Don't do it. I love how you look.
The scar's so ugly.
You beat death. You fought and won. That makes your scar beautiful. Don't erase it.
Outside, a long fuse ignites into flame. Mariana watches calmly as it nears the disassembled gas pipe. As the pipe ignites, Mariana stands with a satisfied-looking smile. Inside the trailer, Nick and Gina make love. Suddenly, Mariana's smile fades. The flames spread with frightening speed along the gas pipe and towards the cylinders.
Get out, Mom, get out, Mom, get out, Mom, get out.
The flames lick at the cylinders.
Mom!
As the trailer explodes, Mariana is knocked off her feet by the force of the blast. Frantically, she pushes herself back along the ground, a look of total horror on her face. Now the trailer is a blazing inferno. Mariana's pretty face crumples with grief as she cowers in the scrubby vegetation. A plume of black smoke rises from the trailer into the clear blue desert sky. Nighttime. In the hospital, the doctor talks to Carlos and Maria. Sylvia approaches. Is it all right if the girl hears this? Asks the doctor. Carlos replies, yes, it's her father. We have to operate. There have been complications, and if the infection is worse than we think, we might have to amputate his leg. Carlos asks, may we see him? You can see him, but he's sedated. Carlos and Maria follow the doctor along the corridor. After a momentary pause, so also does Sylvia. Now in the ward. Unconscious, Santiago lies propped up on a pillow. Standing next to the bed, Maria takes his hand.
Hey, Daddy.
She leans as if to kiss him. The doctor says, don't get too close.
He's going to be okay, right?
Yeah, he's going to be fine.
I love you, Daddy.
This time, Maria does kiss him. The doctor says, you can't be in here. You have to leave. Carlos nods and goes towards Maria. Let's go. Maria, let's go. It's time. Come on. Gently, he shepherds Maria away from the bed.
Can I?
Sylvia looks at the doctor.
Can I just stay for a little longer?
I intend okay.
The doctor says, what did she say? Carlos replies, she's his wife. I think she wants to stay. The doctor says to Sylvia, 2 minutes. He leaves her alone with Santiago. With a frown on her face, she slowly approaches the bed where Santiago lies in a hospital smock with eyes closed. She stares at him helplessly. She sits next to the bed.
You're not gonna die, are you? she died, I wouldn't know what to do with her.
Her face crumples with grief and regret.
I killed them. I killed your father and my mother. I didn't mean to, but now I can't get the smell of them burning. I can't get rid of it.
She wipes her eyes, then continues staring at the unconscious man.
Why did you want me to come back here? Why? Why?
In the minivan, Robert speeds through the night, his face racked with pain. On the verge of tears, he stops the van in the middle of the road and sobs, slumped behind the wheel. Santiago drives his pickup truck. As Robert vents his grief, he sees the pickup truck approaching. Santiago slowly pulls up next to the minivan. He and Robert eyeball each other, Robert still sobbing, Santiago looking grimly determined. As Santiago pulls away, Robert bows his head. Now, Santiago is outside Mariana's house. She comes out.
Mariana, where are you going? How are you doing? Just let me go! I'm gonna tell Dad. Just tell him whatever you want.
The pickup drives off into the darkness. Maria carefully makes up a sofa bed as Sylvia watches from the doorway.
You know, you can sleep in your room. I'll sleep out here.
No, it's okay.
Sylvia helps tuck the sheet under the sofa cushion. As she does so, her forearm is exposed. Maria spots the burn scar.
What happened?
Sylvia pulls her sleeve over the scar.
Nothing, I just burned myself once.
My dad has the same scar in the same place. He says he did it to never forget you.
So did I.
I have a scar too.
As Sylvia looks up, Maria points at her forehead. Sylvia smiles.
What happened?
I fell when I was 3. Are you going to stay with us?
I don't know. I have to talk to him. It's been a long time.
You're leaving again, aren't you?
She looks at Sylvia accusingly. Sylvia stares back at her blankly.
I'm tired.
Maria throws a pillow on the sofa.
Night.
Sylvia nods.
Good night.
Now Sylvia lifts a framed photo of Santiago with a toddler. Sitting down, she studies it intently.
Mm-hmm.
On the wall, she sees a framed photo of herself as a teenager, the one she gave to Santiago in the desert. She reaches out and takes it from the wall, cradling it in her hands. As pale dawn light illuminates the desert, a pickup truck is parked at the side of the road. A figure jumps down from the back of the truck and stands next to it. It is Santiago. Mariana stirs under the blanket in the back of the truck and sits up.
Where are we?
That's Mexico.
He points.
What are we going to do over there?
Live in peace.
We'll never have peace again. I'm pregnant.
What?
I'm pregnant and I don't want it.
We can live in Mexico. The three of us.
No, I can't. I can't have it.
Still sitting in the back of the pickup, with a blanket wrapped around her, she shakes her head. Santiago climbs up and sits next to her. As he sits beside her, she leans against his shoulder. Sylvia rides in the rear of a vehicle. Maria and Carlos sit in the two front seats. As the vehicle comes to a stop, Sylvia leans and taps Maria on the shoulder.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Maria and Carlos glance at each other before he gets out. With a haunted expression, Sylvia looks at her daughter. Maria stares serenely back with her big brown eyes.
Maria, do you think you can forgive me for not being here all these years?
Maria looks thoughtful.
I left you because I was scared that you'd be like me. That you'd come out like me. You think you can forgive me? To go see my dad now.
Getting out, she leaves Sylvia alone in the pickup. Now in the hospital, the doctor approaches Carlos and Maria. Carlos asks, how did the operation go? The doctor says, we were able to clean the infection and we pinned the bone. Did he lose the leg? Maria asks. No, he didn't. We still have to see how things go, but he's doing pretty well. May I see him? Asks Maria. Yes, you can see him.
My dad's going to be okay.
Maria runs towards the ward, passing Sylvia, who is now in the hospital corridor. Maria then pauses and looks towards Sylvia.
Are you coming?
Gina closes the screen door of the house and goes to her car. She opens the door. Santiago opens the door of his pickup and stands watching as Mariana cycles by. As she passes him, she glances back. Still watching her, Santiago gets behind the wheel. On the dusty desert road, Nick gets out of his pickup as Gina's car approaches. Carlos pushes the bike he has borrowed past the sorghum field. Behind him, Santiago's plane swoops down to dust the crop. Carlos turns to watch as it gets closer and passes. In the shack, Maria stares at the plane as it flies low over the field, just in front of the window where she is preparing tortillas. In the trailer, Gina peers thoughtfully out a window. In her apartment, Sylvia stares blankly out of the window. She glances behind her towards the bed. In cool morning light, Mariana observes Santiago, who sleeps in his parents' bed. Slowly she rises and moves towards him. Tenderly, she strokes his head without waking him. She goes to the tiny baby, which stirs sleepily in a cot nearby. She leans over and gently kisses it on the forehead. Stepping from the bedroom into the shadowy hallway, Mariana now carries a suitcase. She pauses, looking back towards the bedroom. In the hospital, as Sylvia stares at Maria, a look of hope lights up her face. She faintly nods and walks towards her daughter, who stands waiting outside Santiago's room. They go inside. The end.